Good morning. 7.02 a.m. on Tuesday, August the 17th, 2021. It's nice, it's cool. It's a little bit humid. Sky is clear of clouds, not clear of smoke. There is so much smoke. There's not enough for it to smell smoky, but there's enough of it to make my nose run, to make my eyes run. It's either that or it's allergies. It could be, I suppose it could be either. Quite a pleasant morning. I've been meditating on the idea of pilgrimage. The Hugh Laurie celebration of New Orleans blues documentary has me pondering the concept of pilgrimage. And I realize that I've already had my one. The reference is to something that one of the lines that Laurie has at the beginning of the documentary, which is every man is allowed one pilgrimage in his lifetime. I think it's like every person, not necessarily every man, but every person is allowed. Which got me thinking about, okay, what would my pilgrimage be? And the longer I pondered it, what would a literary pilgrimage be? You know, retracing Kerouac or something like that. I realized I've already had mine. I did my pilgrimage. Dog taking umbrage on the little pooch on the wrong side of the fence. Good morning. Good morning.
A nice road to walk on.
Yes, yes.
They did a good job.
They did. They always do. Talk about the new tar that's been put down here. They did do a good job. And my pilgrimage was, oh my gosh, I don't know when it was anymore. It was a while ago when I went to Lincoln City to one of Dean Wesley Smith's workshops on writing, where I went. It's quite a journey from here to Lincoln City. It's a small town on the coast of Oregon, fly into Portland. I think it's like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive down to Lincoln City. It's at least an hour. And for a week, literally 7 days, I wrote. I lived in a bungalow at a bed and breakfast with 20 other writers, all of whom had some amount of writerly history. It was it was an experience. It was a sacred space. It was what I think of as pilgrimage. And sacred, I don't mean religious. I mean set aside from the day-to-day, set aside from the secular, set aside from outside demand. I love that little cottage. The historic Anchor Inn. I think it's closed now. But it came with a lot of epiphanies. The pilgrimage came with a lot of new insight. Morning. My direction this morning. That was the woman I ran into yesterday. She had a cap on. She's got her visor on today and her red hair is sticking up from the top. Good morning. She gave me a smile over here. So one of the epiphanies was that I was further along on my journey than I thought. I didn't spend as much time socializing with the other writers as I might have, as I, in hindsight, wish I had. But it was so freeing to be, you know, me in this little cabin. I had a coffee maker. I had some coffee, had a bean grinder. I went down to the local store and bought another pound of coffee because a pound of coffee isn't going to last me a week. Didn't have to worry about food for the most part. Since it was a B&B, breakfast was included. If I remember correctly, you could buy dinner. I know I ate dinner there a lot. Lunch was on your own. You had to go find some place to eat lunch. There were places around, but you had to pretty much drive. But because I had to rent a car to get there, I had a car. It was life-changing in ways I don't know that I've really come to grips with yet. And when I think of things that are life-changing, when I think of the experiences that I categorize as life-changing, I have to include being an intern at the good morning. At the AACT 2000 conference. The Association of Education, Communication, and Technology was the professional organization that I belonged to when I was in education. It was my first year. Kind of want to get ready, sit with me. No, it's my second year. I started the first year of my doctoral program in 99, in January of 99. I finished my master's in December of 98. So I finished my master's program in December, started my doctoral program in January, and then went to Anaheim as an intern in 2000. It was frustrating. It was the experience itself of being an intern was like, okay, they've welcomed me. I could do anything I wanted. I had a medallion that I had to wear all the time, but the medallion was a get out of jail free card. Any place I wanted to go, anytime I wanted to do it, the medallion let me do it. Nobody argued, nobody said anything, nobody. Nobody said boo. If I walked up and talked to somebody, they always talked to me. If I wanted to meet somebody, I just walked up to introduce myself, and they introduced themselves back, generally with a congratulations. And I realized what a true community of professionals might be. It's not like I hadn't been in communities of professionals with information systems. I spent 20 years in information systems. So it was amusing to me when I went to education and took my systems background, put it in education, in an educational context. So people would, most of the people in it were teachers trying to figure out what technology could do. And I was a technologist trying to figure out what education could do. This guy looks like my physician's assistant. It'd be amusing if he lived in my neighborhood. It didn't take me long to get disillusioned. It took about, I'm not going to say 10 years. Okay, that's a pretty long time. But it was clear to me that the educational community was not ready to hear a lot of what I had to say. the ed tech faculty were pretty much against me during my dissertation defense, but they had to accept what my research showed. They didn't like what I researched. They didn't like the findings, but they couldn't find a flaw with them. So I got my PhD. An interesting challenge. I still keep in touch with some of the people. Most of them, I was like, okay, fine. They're more interested in classroom management than providing a learning experience. Which is harsh and probably unwarranted. But it's a lot like publishing. A lot of people don't want to hear what I have to say about publishing. That the establishment, the industry of publishing, as instantiated by traditional publishing, or writers license books to publishers who produce the books and sell them to bookstores. That industry is a mess. And it could be that all of them are a mess. It could be that everything is a mess. It could be that capitalism makes it so. Okay, we've got 17 cars here. I'm going to just sort of walk up this way and let them clear away. I need to cross the street, but all right, there we go. All right, now I'm walking alongside the park. The problem, and I saw it, I watched, what the hell was it? Genius on Prime a little while ago. The story of Thomas Wolfe and his editor, Max Perkins. And it really underscored, I think, one of the problems that a lot of writers have. And that's that they think publishing is like that story showed. That you have to live in New York, you have to have a relationship with your editor. You have to be able to sit with them and hammer out the differences in the stories. And the editor is a mentor, is a guide. Instead of a mold. And that the publishing house exists to foster the art of writing. Which at one time, as the movie depicted, I think it was. At one time, I believe that was the case. But now it isn't. Publishing is now all about the return, the ROI, the short-term gain. the dividend to the stockholders. Because that's the nature of corporate America. Wow, that was a journey. And it's brought me home. Because I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.